morning. Lord, we offer this time, Lord, of praise and of all the deck. You're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our honor. You're worthy of all the declarations we bring to you, Lord, during this worship time. I pray right now, Lord, that our hearts would connect with you, that the cares of this life, the distractions of this life would become dim in the light of your glorious face. And so, Lord, we thank you that we get to worship you. We thank you, Lord, that you inhabit our praises, Lord. So we look forward to what you're going to do in our lives, Lord, as we draw near to you and you draw near to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And the Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. You're the only one. And Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're the only one. You're the only one. Sing Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, come rest on us. When you feel the room, you're hearing, I know you're moving. I'm hearing, I know you feel me. Your glory, God. just become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. It's your presence, Lord.
So I just was thinking about this song and how in Acts 2 it talks about when all of them were together and tongues of fire appeared on everybody's head, how each person was given like a language that they spoke that they understood. It was their tongue, their personal tongue. I think I'm saying that right. But they were all in one accord. Even though there was one guy talking in one language and another guy in another and another and another, they were all together in one place, in one accord. And that's what this is talking about. You're welcome here, but you're welcome here. And we have to recognize that. I talked about this morning earlier and was sharing with Phyllis on the way to church. I said, we have everything that we need of God inside us. It says we have the fullness of God. That's in Ephesians 3:19, a fullness of God in us. But we have to activate that with our faith. That's the activation agent. We have everything we need. We just need to activate it. And so if that's the case, and we're singing this, and we're asking to come flood this place and fill the atmosphere, it's talking about this place, but it's talking about this place. I want that so badly, don't you? I mean, what better place to be than in one accord with people that love you, that you love, but that you're all in agreement and you're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because he deserves it and because we have that heart in us. Amen? Can we do that one more time, Pastor Eric?
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord, sing Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. In your presence, presence, Lord. And your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, it's your presence, Lord. There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. That I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. And hearing your love, hearing your love. I just want to be with you right here in your love, hearing your love. Oh, invade our hearts, hearing your love, hearing your love.
Sing Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. Lord, sing Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. It's your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence.
blessed assurance, and Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time, and born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. And I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never. All is at rest, and I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my step. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm gonna pray my risen King all the day long. You got it. And I trust in God, my Savior. Trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior. That's why I trust Him. I saw the Lord, and He heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
With this song, I was going to do it a little bit later, but I'm going to go ahead and have Sergio come on up. I think it's appropriate to be praying for somebody that's going into the military. It's going to become a Marine. So if you would just extend your hands with me right now, we're just going to pray God's blessing over him and covering and protection. And you know what? You can trust in God. He will never fail you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just lift right now Sergio before your throne of grace. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in his life, Lord. You're the one, Lord, that's inspired him to do this, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for his dedication and his service, Lord, to his country, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that he is going to be the one that you are never failing, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're going to protect him. You're going to order his steps. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to be with him as he lays in bed at night and he can think of on you and you can remind him that he's not alone. Even if he feels alone sometimes, you're with him. We pray right now, Lord, that you would protect him, Lord, from any harm, Lord. We pray that you would bring your supernatural work, Lord, in his life, the angels to protect him. Your word says that they protect us in all our ways, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that they are ministering servants, Lord, for the heirs of salvation, and Sergio is a candidate for that, Lord. So, Father, right now, we thank you, Lord, for his life. Thank you, God, for his heart after you, Lord, and we just pray right now a blessing over him and that he can trust in God, his family can trust in God, that you are in his hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. While we're just hanging here for a second, we're going to pray for Lexi. She was in the hospital last night. She's been dealing. This is Lexi Villalobos. She was dealing with things last week. And so we're just going to pray God's hand of healing over her. Lord, right now we just pray for Lexi Villalobos, Lord. We pray that you would touch her body. You know it, Lord. You've created her, Lord. You know every part of her body. You know every system in her body, Lord. And whatever is causing, Lord, the iron deficiency, Lord, we pray that you'd give the doctors wisdom. But most of all, Lord, we pray for your healing hand to touch her right now in Jesus' name. That she at home right now would just feel the touch of God on her body and know, Lord, that you have touched her. We thank you, Lord, that you do answer our prayer. When we seek the Lord, you hear and you answer. And that's why we trust in you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll greet someone. God bless you. We'll see you in a few minutes.
All right, if you guys would stand with me, we are going to get into our declarations over the Yakima Valley, just believing that God is going to continue to bless our city. Amen? Amen. All right. All right. If you could say this together on three, one, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we thank you so much for this valley. We thank you, Lord, for our city. We thank you, Lord, for the surrounding areas, God. And right now, I just pray, God, that you would protect, God, all the areas that are being impacted, Lord, by fires. God, I just pray, Lord, for those who have maybe had to have been evacuated, Lord, that you would protect them and their families. That you would also protect their properties, God. We pray, God, that you would just send rain, Lord, that you would shift the wind, Lord, that you would protect our firefighters, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us, you love our city, Lord, that you are doing mighty things, God, in our valley, Lord, in all the homes represented here in all our different locations. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. All right. So, no real announcements today. Pastor wanted me to mention that our Saturday night prayers will resume middle of August, and so we will be announcing those in the days to come. But wanted to thank you guys for giving. Thank you for sowing into the house of God. We have a box up here you can give in. We have a box in the back you can give in, as well as you can give online if you would like to do that as well. And just know that every dollar that you sow into the kingdom of God here does not go unnoticed and really helps expand the kingdom that we're of God that we're doing here. And then finally, children. Can I have the children up here? Children under 59. All right. Hello, sorry. Hello. All right. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these little. Oh, we have one more. Oh, she got shy. We'll bless her from afar. God, we thank you so much for these kids. We pray blessings over them. We pray, God, as they go downstairs, that you would bless them, Lord, in their time. God, we thank you so much for just the spirit that's inside of them, God, that is alive and well. And just pray you would just continue to grow them in you, God, and in health. And we just thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Had a shy one there, huh? Well, praise the Lord. Today we're going to continue the Power of Prayer series. This has been going on since December of last year. So it's, I don't think I called it the Power of Prayer series back then, but it's amazing because I don't know how many messages there have been, probably over 20-something now, because, of course, I don't preach every single week on prayer. But it's amazing how many times I'm reading this, and, you know, I have not preached on this, and I think it's, a very significant principle in praying in the name of Jesus, praying in Jesus' name. How many of you finish your prayer, usually when you're done, in Jesus' name? Yeah. I mean, It's something that we do. It can kind of become a tradition. You know, we get done with praying at meal at night, and I say in Jesus' name. And, you know, I think it can be kind of rote. And so today I kind of wanted to help us realize what it means to pray in Jesus' name. So I'm going to start off by talking a little bit about what is in a name. What is a name? And kind of use this description here. It's a name is more than a label. It can identify a person, mark a trait or birth event, or simply be a conventional word with no deep meaning. It also carries reputation and fame, how others know and remember someone. Beyond that, a name can mean lasting memory, inheritance, and continuance through those who come after. So when we pray in Jesus' name, I don't believe we're just saying a name. I don't think we're just, you know, saying Jesus' name as a label. And I don't think we're saying Jesus' name just because he was a character who lived 2,000 years ago. Hopefully, we're praying in Jesus' name because we have relationship with that name. And we'll see this in a moment. First time really God was talked about his name was when Moses was being called to help deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. And in this burning bush experience, Moses gets to a place where he's kind of wanting to sit, you know, figure out how he's even going to communicate to the people who's sending him. He says in verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Up to this point, God was called creator. God was called, I think he did go by the term Yah or Elohim, but there was really no like specific name that he had. And then God said to Moses, I am who I am. I love this name because this name basically says, I am who I am. I exist in my existence. I am the all-existent one. And it's where we really get the name the Lord, you know, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, Jehovah, some say. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So this is God's first really description to the children of Israel that his name is I am. We see here in Deuteronomy verse 19 and 20 of chapter 18, another time where God himself is talking about his name, and he says, and it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. So this is talking about a prophet. When a prophet comes and communicates in the name of the Lord, it carries weight and it carries authority. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, in other words, he's saying that I'm preaching this or I'm communicating this in the name of the Lord, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Then in Matthew, we see the name of God being declared as a place of union. And if we look at Matthew 18, 19 through 20, we see, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So this is Jesus now. He's speaking about authority, speaking about this idea of union. Gabe was talking about being in one accord. When you gather together in this place of harmony or union, he's together with us in our midst. So this is kind of where I want to focus on for a moment, in my name. What does it mean when he says in my name? We say in Jesus' name, but Jesus said in my name. Well, in means, it's the word en in the Greek, and it literally means within, like you're within something, or you're in union with. So if you start this off, it says, if you're within or in union with my name, if you're in union with me, if you're in me and I'm in you, that's where this harmony and this union and this one accord comes in. And then in this place, the my means me or mine. And then the name itself is about his character, reputation, or person. So when Jesus is saying in my name, when you're in me, and we'll see this later on, and I'm in you, you can ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. That's praying in his name. But it's not just saying his name. It's in a relationship that we know what the power of that name is. And we'll see that as we go on. So his name does carry power and authority. I've testified about this before, but I don't know if everybody's heard this story. Years ago, when I was first a Christian, I would be asleep at night and just sleeping along peacefully. You know, I'm not a big dreamer, but all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I would wake up and something was choking me. I mean, literally, my throat was being like pressed, and I'm, you know, gasping for air. And so being a new Christian, you know, I didn't know all the attributes of, you know, walking in power and fighting against principalities. I didn't know anything of that, but I knew that I heard before that the name of Jesus, everything had to bow and submit. So I would just thing, Jesus, you know, get it out. And then those hands would go away. So, yes, there's power in the name of Jesus. And I didn't know all the attributes of him. I just knew that that name had power. And I had put faith in that name. And the relationship that I had started with following him, I knew that it had power over the work of the enemy. Huh? Oh, it happened for years. Mm-hmm. Happened for years. It didn't happen every night. It happened just periodically. And I wasn't like saying, well, you know, what was I doing spiritually that brought this attack? All I know is that I would wake up in the middle of the night and being choked. And someone would say, well, how'd you finally get rid of it? Well, I believe what happened was I knew, started becoming who God was calling me to be. And they had no power over me anymore. So they just stopped. It wasn't like I had a deliverance or anything like that. Even though I did, it was from me maturing as a son. In Proverbs, speaking of that, 18:10, we see this great illustration of what the name of the Lord is. It's a strong tower. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever seen a strong tower. There's a great movie that I've watched several times, but is it called The Two Towers? And it's Lord of the Rings. Yeah. And this one tower is huge. Now it's black and it's supposed to be bad, you know, but it still shows this strong tower. It's hard to penetrate. And so the name of the Lord, when we call upon the name of the Lord, it's a strong tower. It's allowing us to connect with, I believe, his supernatural realm when we call on the name of the Lord. It says the righteous run into it and are safe. This was a song we used to sing. Remember that? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. She knows it. We're dating ourselves, of course. How many know that song? Does anybody know that song? Tim knows that song. You know that song, Vicky. The rest of you know? Well, you heard it for the first time. When I was first a Christian, we used to sing the Psalms. We used to sing, you know, all basically, you know, we didn't have like "I Trust in God." We, you know, those are very modern. We just, you know, took the songs that were already written and kind of reworded them, and they blessed our soul. All right, let's look at this here. Jesus is being given. Or he is with his disciples, and he's asking them, what do people call me? If we look at verse 13 of Matthew 16, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, he wasn't after, they say you're Jesus. He wasn't after his surname. He was after, who do they say that I bring the authority of? In other words, who is it that I am being displayed as at this time? So they said, some say John the Baptist, which is interesting because John the Baptist was just a while ago. I don't know how they could say that he was John the Baptist. They grew up together at the same time, but some said he was John the Baptist. Some said Elijah. Others said Jeremiah or one of the prophets. In other words, it's like they're saying he's one of a special person, but we're not sure exactly who he is. So then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? See, this is kind of the key. What does the name of Jesus mean to you? What weight does it carry in your heart? How do you respond when you hear the name of Jesus? What does it do for you? Does it lift you up and encourage you? So he's saying, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the one who is coming and was prophesied in the Old Testament. You are the culmination of Israel right now. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, what? Oh, the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. So this idea that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is what the church is built on. Now, some would say, well, no, it's Peter, you know, and I know the Catholic Church say that this is how Peter was declared that he was going to become the first pope. But really what's talked about here is the revelation knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the Son of the living God, that he is God incarnate in the flesh, that's what's being communicated here, that this is something that Hades or hell cannot prevail against. So what does this mean? This means as his people that the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Christ, our Lord and Savior, carries weight and hell does not prevail against us. Now, it doesn't mean that it doesn't get a slug in every now and then. Some may say, you know, well, I mean, I lost someone. I've lost someone. You know, I almost died. But it still doesn't negate the fact that God's true church, the body of Christ, is not being prevailed against by the enemy. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So again, this is showing this name, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, carries weight and authority. So when you pray and you say in Jesus' name, you're not just closing a prayer with a benediction. At the end, you're closing a prayer with the authority of how that prayer is going to be answered. It's like saying, Lord, I ask you to do such and such. And then when you say in Jesus' name, it's like you're saying, now because of my relationship with you, the power of Jesus' name, I put faith in it to have this prayer answered. In John chapter 17, verses 10 through 12, we see, all who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me. This is Jesus praying in somewhere between him talking to his disciples and going to the Garden of Gethsemane. John's the only one who really communicates this prayer. If you read it, it's all the entire chapter of 17. A lot of people call the hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, the Lord's prayer. But that was really the disciples' prayer. Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. John chapter 17 is the Lord's prayer. It's Jesus praying. And he says, all who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world. But I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name. This is Jesus himself saying that there is power in the name that he was given. And it's not just Jesus, it's what the whole name Jesus represents. It's, you know, and if you want to, you know, some people say you have to say Yeshua. I don't know, you guys know that? And, you know, they say, because it was exactly his name in Hebrew, Yeshua. And so if you don't say Yeshua, then you're not, well, God's not splitting hairs like that. Because if I didn't know at the time I had to say Yeshua. Can you imagine if that was the case? I don't know the name. It's like, no, Jesus was his name that I knew him by. Some people say, just God help me, and he answers. God's a lot more powerful than we make him out to be sometimes. By the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. So all of his disciples, except we'll see here, I guarded them so that not one of them was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. This is Judas Iscariot. But all of the others were protected by the power of his name. You know, they went out at times, you know, 70 went out, then 12 went out, and they probably didn't realize it, but they were being protected by the power of his name at that time. So there is authority and power in his name. Let's look at another scripture. Hopefully we're getting more than two or three witnesses here. Philippians 2, 8 through 11. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the name of Jesus is above every other name. So does that mean that Jesus' name is above sickness? Mm-hmm. Is above disease? His name is above depression? His name is above anxiety? His name is, you know, put any name in this world and his name is above it. So when does that name carry power? When we put faith in that name. When we put trust in that name, when we make that name our connection point to God, the Father. So this is another thing that we have to watch. Praying in the name of Jesus is not a formula. You know, some people say if we just, you know, bring somebody up and pray, they're sick, and we're just going to pray in Jesus' name, it's done. It's not a formula. There's a need for being in the will of God and praying with faith and confidence and in him, not in our prayer, but in him. It's a statement of relationship, truly, when we pray in the name of Jesus. When I say in the name of Jesus, it's because I have a relationship with Jesus. It's not because somebody told me to use in the name of Jesus at the end of my prayer. It's because I have a relationship with him. That in the name of Jesus carries the power that it does. So let's look at this. This is Acts 19, 13 through 17. This really shows you that just saying the name of Jesus isn't going to necessarily cut it. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, the New Living Translation says, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. So that's what they were saying. In other words, we've heard that people are casting out demons in the name of Jesus. I don't necessarily know what all that means, but I've heard Paul's doing it. So they got to this one situation and they said, we're casting out this demon in the name of Jesus, the one who Paul preaches. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time, when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I love this, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you? Even the demon said, okay, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but I got no clue who you are. I don't know what kind of authority you're trying to, you know, administer. You have no power. And so then it says, then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. So it's not a formula. It's not an incantation. It's not a spell, but it carries power, much more powerful than incantations, much more powerful than formulas, because it's based on relationship with the one who created everything. John chapter 14, we start to see Jesus now communicating what the power of his name is going to do for his disciples. But I'm telling you, it's not just for them, it's also for us. This was, even though he's speaking to them, you can apply this to your life. So Jesus says in verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Pretty clear, isn't it? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So now, that sounds like a formula to me, doesn't it to you? But again, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to the one who spent the last 3 years with him. If we have relationship with Jesus, and we know what Jesus' heart and will is, then we can ask anything in his name and he will do it. You know, Jesus said this radical thing in Mark 11:24. You know, let me read it here so I don't misquote it. Mark 11:24. You guys know it. Right? Everybody knows it? Not necessarily. He says here, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Then goes on to say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Therefore I say to you, or here's another translation. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. How can you believe that you've received it? Again, he's speaking to his disciples. Because we have relationship with him. Some would say, okay, I need the faith. And so now they're going to put faith in that they need faith. So I've got to figure out some way to get faith. No, you need faith in the one who gives you the faith. You need faith in the one who gave you the life that you live. And if you have that kind of faith, you can say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. John 15:16 says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the name, in the Father, in my name, he may give you. So you didn't choose me, I chose you. Now some would say, well, I chose Jesus because someone came to me and they told me that I was a sinner and that I was lost and that I needed God in my life and that Jesus was the answer. And so I chose him. I prayed, Jesus, come into my life. And you could say, well, you know, that means that I chose him. No, that's not the case. God did whatever he needed in your heart to get you to the place where you'd start looking for him. He prepared the soil of your heart that you were able to receive it, but he was the one choosing you. It's like this. We can, as Christians, get this idea that we are the maintainers of our faith. We read our Bible enough, we pray enough, we go to church enough, you know, what you name it. You know, I listen to worship music instead of, you know, rock music. I mean, you get this list and you say, okay, now I'm maintaining my faith and I'm staying in God, I'm choosing God and not realizing that he's at work in you. And you rest in the fact that he's at work in you, that it's his good pleasure to be at work in you. He loves being at work in you. That doesn't mean you don't read your Bible, but you don't maintain your faith in a way that it's all about you or about all your own strength, because it's going to fail. I trust in God, right? What if you're going through a crisis and you can't read your Bible? What if you're going through a crisis and you don't have even the strength to pray? What if, I mean, trust in God. Because he's got you. But you did not choose me, I chose you. And appointed that you should bear fruit and that fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now going on into John's chapter 16, Jesus then says to his disciple, in that day you will ask me nothing. So what day is this? This is the day after he's left. He's already told that I'm going away and I'm sending the Holy Spirit will come in my place. And it's good, better for you that I go away because the Holy Spirit's going to come. So he says, in that day, you will ask me nothing. So what does this mean? He's saying that most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now, some people try to split hairs again. Well, you have to pray to the Father in Jesus' name because that's exactly, you know. No, he's communicating what's happening here. When we're praying after he's gone to be with the Father, he's our advocate. He's the one who's prepared the way. It's by his flesh, it says, that we've gone in through the veil. What veil is that? The same veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the most holy place. That particular veil was torn down when Jesus died on the cross. And in like manner, his torn flesh in the spirit realm allows us to enter boldly before the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, come boldly before your throne of grace where you find mercy and help in time of need. So most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 26, in that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. This is kind of a New King James says it a little tricky, but basically he's saying, you're going to ask the Father in my name. Now listen, I'm not saying I'm going to be praying for you. You have the ability to pray to the Father. That's what I'm accomplishing on the cross. You have full access to the Father. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So do you see here that this is a statement of relationship that he's talking about? That all of these prayers are based on the relationship we have with Jesus and his relationship with the Father. Praise God. So I thought it'd be good to just end here with just a few illustrations of the power of Jesus' name in the book of Acts and how it did mighty works. I love this first one. This is Peter and John. They're on their way to the temple. This is right after it's in the Bible. It's right after chapter 2, the day of Pentecost that she was talking about, where the tongues of fire came down and 3,000 were saved. It was a powerful move. But then the next chapter, we see Peter and John, they're going to the temple for the hour of prayer. And this man who's basically a paraplegic is at this temple gate. It's amazing because most people say he was probably there every day, so he probably saw Jesus, and he wasn't healed because his timing was today. Acts 3:6 says, but Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold, because he's asking, you know, Peter looks at him and thinks he's going to give him some money. I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In other words, Peter possessed something greater than silver or gold. Peter possessed something, and he knew he possessed it because he had a relationship with the one who had given him what he had. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. So some would say, well, you know, the miracles died with the apostles. Have you guys ever heard that statement? The miracles of God died away with the apostles because they were the ones that carried it. That's not true. Yes, Peter, if you ask Peter, I'm sure he's listening. I'm just saved by grace here. I can tell you the kind of pawn scum I was. You know, I betrayed God. I denied him 3 times. You know, I put my foot in my mouth all the time. You know, even after he was an apostle, you know, Paul had to, you know, challenge him to his face. Listen, you know, you're going back with the Jews and you're forgetting that these people you've been hanging around with, eating all their food. Now you're not associating with them. You know, you're dissing them. And, you know, he had to be challenged. He wasn't perfect, but he knew the power in the name. Isn't that good that we don't be perfect? That you don't have to be a pastor to pray for somebody that's sick in the name of Jesus. All you have to be is somebody that has confidence and trust in that name and what that name means and what Jesus accomplished for us. And we know that the man gets up and walks. He starts leaping and praising God, and there's like a whole commotion at the temple. So later on, Peter is basically saying, hey, listen, guys, let me tell you what's going on. Through faith in the name of Jesus, not faith in my prayer, not faith that I was an apostle and I had this power that I carried. That's why the miracles didn't die with the apostles, because it was faith in the name of Jesus, which we still live in today. This man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. So when we're in our prayer closet, when we're praying in the morning, we're reading the word, and a scripture lights up and it's something and hits our heart, and we see this truth in the word, and we ask the Lord, you know, help make this real in my life, and we say in Jesus' name, that's the same authority that raised this man who was paralyzed. It's no difference. Somebody could say, well, it was a gift of healing. It might have been, but it was still because of the name of Jesus. It's very clear here. In Acts 4:7, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're mad because they thought they got rid of Jesus. They thought his ministry was done when they hung him on the cross. And now it's like multiplied. You know, there's 3,000 the week before, whatever it was, that just they're running around talking about Jesus and what's going on. It's like, whoa, they're turning the world upside down, as it's later declared. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees, they says, and when they had set them in the midst, that's Peter and John, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? So in other words, they knew that something had to have given these, you know, unlearned men, as they were described, this power. And it was the name of Jesus. And then in Acts 16:18, this is Paul. He's in, I think he's in Ephesus. And he is daily going back and forth to the temple or wherever he's preaching, synagogue. And when he goes by this spot, there's this woman that basically is saying, these are servants of the Most High God. And they're like, she's like mocking them. She's basically, you know, declaring kind of like the demons did when Jesus came to the man of the Gadarenes, you know, you're the Son of God. And it said that when he was in the temple and he's casting out demons, they would say, you know, and he would forbid them to speak. So, you know, Paul is going back and forth and he's getting ticked off. And it says, and this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left her. To the place where the people who were using this woman, because she was basically using these powers to prophesy, you know, to give people, you know, what do they call it? Fortune telling and that kind of stuff and perform signs. And now it's gone. So they lost their money and it ends up creating a big stir in the town. But it was in the name of Jesus. Same power when you're finishing your prayer in Jesus' name, I ask this, Lord. That same power that cast out that demon, that same power that caused that paralyzed man to walk, born from birth, I think he was. The same power that raised Dorcas, you know, after she had died. The same power that even raised Jesus from the dead, because it's the Holy Spirit in us that's activated with that power. So the next time you're praying in the name of Jesus, the next time that you invoke God's name in a place that you need something to happen, realize that it's because of your relationship with him. It's not just because it's someone in the Bible or someone at church or someone said you got to pray in Jesus' name. It's because of the power in that name. When an ambassador from our country goes to another country, and they are dealing with the foreign embassy or they're dealing with, you know, maybe sometimes even the president of that country. And they start speaking about things that they need to do and accomplish. They're not talking in their own name. They're talking in the name of the country behind them. And if one of those individuals does something to them, it's not that they just did it to them. They did it to the country behind them. So if our United States ambassador, you know, gets hit in the face, you know, slapped in the face, it's as if they're slapping the United States in the face. Why? Because he has relationship. I believe that's why Jesus says that we're more than conquerors. Because we love him. And that nothing by any means of the enemy can hurt us. Ultimately. Even if he slays us, you know, we get in a car wreck. He still doesn't get the last word. The last word we have is that we're with our Father in heaven. We're with Jesus in heaven. We're in a place of extreme glory. So we ultimately win. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for being the one who gives us, Lord, the power here to pray in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for what you accomplished on the cross, your death, burial, and resurrection, Lord. That through that process, Lord, your name for us carries power. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't just let us have to try to make it through life without your power and authority behind us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you carry us in your arms, Lord, but you also give us the ability, Lord, to have authority in your name. Jesus, as that song says, I trust in you, Lord God. You will never fail. You will never fail me. You'll never fail my family. You'll never fail this body of believers, Lord. You'll never fail. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. And thank you, Lord, that we can trust that in the power of your name, just as it raised that paralytic from paralyzed for all those years and cast out that demon girl in Ephesus. That same power is the one that answers our prayers and gives us confidence in that you'll answer our prayers. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
trust in God. As you go this week, trust in that He's working in your life. Trust in that He's hearing you. And trust in that He's answering your prayers. Amen. In Jesus' name.